Father, we trust in your power to create, to sustain, and to enable. We trust in your love, in your goodness. We know that you are always near. May your Spirit enable us to love and empower. May your Spirit help us to worship you with praise that comes from within. Thank you for this Sabbath day. Help us not to check our minds and our hearts at the door. Help us to bring all that we are before you in worship. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your protection. We offer ourselves in your service, and we praise the name of your Son, who taught us how to pray with these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One thing I can say for sure is that Jesus is all about life. He plainly said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. John chapter 10, verse 10. The full life Jesus mentioned is an abundant life that is far better than any life focused on wealth or popularity, nor is it about living a balanced life. We hear a lot about the balanced life these days in therapy books and seminars, but please don't ever ask me to read a book that promotes living a balanced life. After chapter 1 or chapter 2, I'll most likely throw that book into the recycle bin. Why? Because Jesus never taught us to live a life like that. Jesus taught us to live a full life. Uh-oh. What are you talking about, Pastor Michael? Well, listen, most Christians are looking for more out of life, and they've read the words of Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me. But they have a problem. They've got this problem that it rears its head all the time. They only look at the middle third of what Jesus said. They care very much about the truth. That's important. But Jesus never wanted us to neglect his way or his life. Christians argue over doctrine. They insist that believing the right doctrines will yield the right life. Newsflash, that is also what the Pharisees taught, who Jesus railed against. Ouch. That sort of hurts, Pastor Michael. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter how many sermons you've listened to or how many Bible stories you know. It doesn't matter at all. Doesn't matter how many Bible stories you know, because that doesn't lead you to a full life. A full life, which is a transformed life, doesn't happen because of the information that you've been able to gather. Rather, life transformation is an experience. Jesus didn't come just to teach us new truths so that we would believe. He also came to show us how to live. Transformation happens when you follow his ways and the way he lived. Now, if you don't care where you're headed in life, then it really doesn't matter what road you travel. But if you do care, if you want to live the life that Jesus said you could have, then the way you live matters. And it matters a lot. You need to adopt the ways of Jesus. His life wasn't a set of doctrines or a list of rules to be followed. His life was earthy, it was organic, it was non-institutional. Following the ways of Jesus without all the trappings of religion will make your life out of step with our culture. But you will also experience a life far better than you could ever have imagined. There's a long list of add-ons to Christianity these days. Our culture has invaded and taken over the way we do church. We are obsessed with production, member satisfaction. For Jesus, it was obedience, not mega-sized congregations. He was concerned about the few, the small, the overlooked, the people who were marginalized by society. He had a soft spot for the outsider. He honored children. He honored parents. He honored women. Very countercultural Jesus was. He was never about religion. Religion teaches people to try harder to gain God's approval. Jesus never taught religion. The Apostle Peter, now there's a disciple who was transformed into a compassionate, dedicated follower of Jesus. And he learned directly from Jesus that the life-giving way to lead is to serve. Peter wrote these words, "God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps." Wow. Those are some powerful words. Now I'd like to juxtapose Peter's words with a story that has been used in motivational seminars. Maybe you've already heard it during a corporate training session in your life. This story has often been presented as advice to tens of thousands of Americans as they rush to get ahead. I heard this many years ago. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows that it must run faster than the fastest lion or be killed. Every morning, a lion wakes up. It knows that it must run faster than the slowest gazelle or starve. It doesn't matter whether you are a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, you better be running. There is some merit to the story, but the message is godless. It has nothing to do with the message that Jesus taught, and it's not typical of a day in the life of Jesus. Let me assure you that this advice about running is not found in the words of Jesus. And neither is the non-Christian advice offered up by so many best-selling authors who focus solely on achieving a balanced life between work and leisure. King Solomon understood. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he wrote in beautiful poetic words a description of God's plan for the cadence of a person's life. Consider his words as we read them. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. I read that it's God's intent that we live according to an easy rhythm that sustains happiness and peace in our lives. Jesus lived such a life. His human side was shaped by the cadence of Sabbath keeping and seasonal festivals that were intended to help people remember God's faithfulness, God's protection, and God's provision. It was the custom of Jesus to observe the Sabbath. We read right at the beginning of his ministry, John chapter 4, verse 16. For 30 years before he started his ministry, the lifestyle of Jesus followed the pattern that was established at creation. He worked 6 days, then he rested on the seventh day. On the Sabbath day, the seventh day, he stopped his regular work. He ceased his routine. On the Sabbath day, he worshiped in a special way. He enjoyed his family. He allowed his life to be in sync with the natural order of life that God initiated for us during creation. Now, Jesus himself said that he is the way. So don't you think that the way he lived should tell us a lot about the way we should live our lives? Following in Jesus is more than following a doctrine or a creed. Following in Jesus is more than understanding the truths he taught and reading scripture. Following Jesus also means adopting his ways. His ways should become our ways. So what about his ways? In the Gospels, the four Gospels up front in the New Testament, Jesus is never in a frantic rush or in a dash to do an 80-hour work week in 40 hours. It just didn't happen. None of the four Gospel writers ever show Jesus in a hurry. We read that Jesus started his ministry when he was 30 years old. 30 years old? Well, the typical American would question that. Couldn't he have accomplished much more if he had started his career earlier? For years, Jesus lived an ordinary life as a carpenter. The sweat of his brow and his physical labor shaped his body and his human spirit and also helped him to develop his perfect understanding of right and wrong, and his integrity, his honesty. It's fair to say that by the time John the Baptist baptized Jesus, his heart and soul had already been fashioned by years of work, family, and God. There was a rhythm to his life, unlike the typical American life that seemingly has unending demands with competing schedules. So I have a few examples of the way Jesus lived, his way. In Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 42, you can read that Jesus was having a busy day and evening ministering to others. But then, the following morning at daybreak, he went out to a solitary place. We read this in Luke 4, verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. Jesus sought solitude, a change of pace, a change in perspective, some time alone with his Father. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and he prayed. His popularity was growing. The crowds approached him wherever he was. Luke wrote that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. And the Greek actually says often. Jesus was looking for places often where he could get away from the crowd after a busy day of pouring himself into his work. There was a rhythm to his life. He would pour everything into his work, and then he would seek rest, quiet, solitude, time with his Father. Jesus knew that he needed some time out. He needed to disengage with people and engage with his Father one-on-one. Another example is Luke 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Now, this is amazing. Jesus spent the whole evening in prayer. I don't know about you, but I wonder how he was able to do that. I imagine that he must have repositioned himself many times because of discomfort. Perhaps he mentioned the same concerns many times. But he knew the power of prayer. He knew the unparalleled energy that solitude and time alone with his Father re-injected into him as part of his regular routine. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. After a busy season of work and ministry, Jesus took his disciples for what appeared to be some time off. The attempt didn't work out if you continue reading the story, because the locals found out where he and the disciples had gone and followed them. They were followed to Bethsaida. But his intention was easy to see. After work, the plan was to have some downtime. We can't always be on top of our game. And Jesus understood the need for some downtime. One of the best examples, Luke chapter 21, verses 37 and 38. Every day, Jesus went to the temple to teach. And each evening, he returned to spend the night on the Mount of Olives. The crowds gathered at the temple early each morning to hear him. Every day, Jesus was intentional about his work and his teaching. Each evening, he took some time off. He didn't keep on working late into the evening. He worked in the day. He rested in the evening. It's sad that many pastors and missionaries never learned this about the way Jesus lived. The truth is that many Christians never know when to stop. They never stop. They have adopted the lifestyle of the world's 24-hour, use-every-moment-to-get-ahead philosophy. They've adopted this philosophy into their ministry. It's no wonder there are so many burned-out followers of Jesus. They never learned his way of living. Nobody ever taught them the way Jesus lived. Not even our Bible colleges teach us how Jesus lived, at least in my experience. Most Christians have adopted the pattern of living that our culture follows. Our culture runs at a breakneck breakneck pace. I knew I could get that. Yet we hear something else called balance. And that's odd. Why is that? Did Jesus ever teach anything about living a balanced life? Well, if he did, it wasn't high in his priority to make it into the Gospels. The modern American culture teaches that we can have it all. Yeah, we can have it all. We just have to balance it all. That is a fairy tale. Go to any bookstore, and the shelves are full of books that promote finding balance in your life. Don't believe it. The quest for balance between work and life, as modern America has come to view it, is a losing proposition. It's harmful. It's destructive. What's missing? Life is not about balancing everything. Rather, life is about living within the God-ordained pattern that he established at creation. Jesus never commanded or encouraged us to seek balance. It's not in the Ten Commandments. It's not in the Beatitudes. And none of the prophets ever cried out for a more balanced life. But the Bible does teach us about a way of life that's in sync with the promises of life that Jesus offered. It's a sacred rhythm that breathes life abundant, a way of life created by God from the very beginning at creation. So how do you start? You begin living the way of Jesus by taking an honest look at the life you're now living and then asking God for courage to walk in a new yet firmly established way, a way established during creation. We start by Sabbath keeping. It's an ancient practice. It goes back to creation, and God felt so strongly about our need for Sabbath keeping that he included it as part of the Big Ten, part of his moral law, the Ten Commandments. The idea is to stop being so involved with the routine matters of your life on the Sabbath. Rather, devote that time to God and family and yourself. Take time to recover. Allow God's natural weekly rhythm to rejuvenate you and your spouse and your family. And you know what? You don't have to just limit yourself to the Sabbath. You can also live like Jesus during the other 6 days of the week. You don't have to be like the lion and the gazelle when they wake up and they run and run and run. The way of Jesus is far different from the way of 21st century America that has only one word to describe life: busy, busy, busy. What's that old saying we've heard? It says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. The first step is to decide to look at your life honestly and then decide to start doing what Jesus did. So have a small practical suggestion that can help. As you take on this change, to begin living the way Jesus lived through the week, on the other 6 days, take a 15-minute break each day from your work. Go somewhere quiet. You might even put your phone in airplane mode so you can be sure to disconnect and have some quiet time with God, and you'll find yourself connecting with him like Jesus did in a practical way. Because living is practical, it should be. Unplug for a short time each day and just breathe the way God intended. Strive to make the way Jesus lived your way to live as well. And I'll leave there with a hearty amen. Hallelujah. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he can work on me, a sinner condemned and free, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he laid them very old. He bore the burden of Calvary and suffered and died on. My joy to